Amen. And inside Grace International, we are part of an organization that is doing that. At least at this point, there now are up to 126 nations around the world that are being ministered to through just Grace International and the missionaries that are at work, the nationals that are at work. One of those we are privileged today to have with us, Brother Thomas. We love to sow into the ministry to help and to be a part of what God is doing there. You will have an opportunity, if you so wish, to sow into the ministry and be a part of that. I would highly suggest that. It's wonderful, good ground that is producing fruit and changing lives, and that's what Jesus cares about, lives being changed and transformed to the glory of God. And so we are privileged today to have our brother Thomas back with us again. Will you please make welcome Brother Thomas Akute?
Thank you. Good morning. In Africa, we say, praise the Lord. You say, hallelujah. Yes, that's it. Amen. I want to thank God for the privilege to come back here again today and to be with you. And I want to thank God for my friend, my brother, Mark and Jenny, for all that God have used them to encourage us to hold our hands up when things become tough. And they've been supporting, you have been supporting. And I want to say thank you very much for all the sacrifice you are making to make sure that the work goes on. You know, whenever I come here, it's like come to my home, because I believe that God has put us together for over 30-something years, long before they came to Twella. God has been working in our lives. But let me share with you a few things we do. My ministry is like multidimensional. You know, we do so many crazy things to reach out to people for the kingdom of God. One of the areas in our church, we plant churches in different regions, different places, and have pastors who go out. Our goal this year is your church has to plant a church. So if you are pastoring a church, you have to plant another church, because that's how the kingdom spread. So we do that by holding some conferences, teaching people. We have leadership development conference, which we hold 3 times every year. And those 3 times, we put it in different regions and get people to come from here. I've been asking Pastor Mark that they have to consider coming next year and join us in our teaching, because I believe that there's a lot they have to give out. They have a lot. So I'm praying that you guys support them to come, so that they come back with firsthand, you know, information of what we are doing over there. There's no time for me to give you every detail of what is going on. I remember Pastor Larry came to Project Hope, and he stood at the gate. He said, oh no, picture does not do any good. That's what he said. So we have that in our church site, but then we have a special ministry to those who are nobodies. You know, there are those kind of community that they just put aside. Nobody talk about them. You know, we pick them up. This may have made bad decisions in their lives that end them up, you know, being rejected by their own family and all that. So we take them into a place we call Project Hope. In Project Hope, you don't pay nothing. You don't pay for food. You don't pay for accommodation. You don't pay for training. But we keep you there in the campus, separated from everybody, in the middle of nowhere. We build up a place, and then we train you with skill to make clothes like this, different designs, train you to make shoes from scratch, train you to make bags from scratch, and then be able to do catering and event management. These are the 4 courses we are giving now. But when the campus is fully developed, we'll have 19 different workshops, like welding and fabrication, aluminum fabrication, carpentry, and all those will be in that style, so that people can learn. By this, we are taking potential drug dealers, drug traffickers, potential criminals out of the road. So that if you are busy doing something, you get tired in the day, you go back home and sleep. You don't have to go and trouble people on the road. So that's what we are doing. I've trained, since I began this, 758 people have been trained and empowered. Because when we finish our training, we don't leave you there. At graduation, if you go to my Facebook, you'll see we just graduated 33. And when we graduate, we give you a sewing machine to go home, brand new sewing machine, go home, start your business. And we visit you from time to time to find out how you are doing. And that has given us a family that other people don't like, but now people begin to go to them for help because they see they are living well. That is what support is changing. And I want to thank you for that. Then the last group I want to tell you is, because I didn't have the privilege to go to school, I don't have that time to tell you the story, amazing story of how I began to speak English in 1973, because I wasn't able to speak anything because I didn't go to school. At the age of 10, my brother denied me Christmas clothes. And as a result, I left school. And I began to haul firewood on my head, tie it in a bundle, 20, 25 pounds or something, carry it on my head, and walk barefooted 1.5 miles to go sell them every day. I did that to just start my life and start my business. That was how I abandoned school. So that when I gave my life to Christ, I had a visitation in 1973. That's how I started speaking English. I started reading. You know, so God has been so amazing. I now find out that there are little children in the school who don't have opportunity, you know, to read. So I visited the school and I look at it, I find out they don't have materials. So I made a commitment. Every year, every child in that school, from first grade to the end of it, I provide them reading materials and writing materials every year. And I've done that. But then the problem was, how did they start reading? Because they don't have it before. So I made a competition, very smart competition. And that is, if you come out number 1, 2, 3 in your exam, I buy you Christmas clothes. You see, that's a good bet. So those who have the first, second, and third in their grade, all of them get Christmas clothes. So at the end of the year, I go there, give them Christmas clothes. That fired everybody up. And they start reading. So that helped me be able to put a good competition for them to be able to go. Praise the Lord. So this is what we have been doing. Gladys couldn't come because this is not really the time we come. You can see the way I talk. In fact, it's a miracle that I'm talking to you. Otherwise, 2 days ago, they couldn't hear me when we were at the dinner because we don't do cold. I came from extreme heat into extreme cold. You call this nice? For me, it's really cold. Because there's no time in my country that is as cold as this. No time. No time. Whether it's raining, you're sweating. So we don't do it. But because of the conference, I have to be here. But I thank God that I'm able to talk to you. Amen? Amen. Today, I want to share with you something I believe that will help you. Strength for the journey. We are all in a journey of life. You are not the way you were 20 years ago. Every day you advance in the journey, and there are marks in your life. You can look back in the journey. Some you'll be happy about, some you are not happy about. Some decisions you have made in the past may not be too good, but you can change it. Sometimes you see those people who are treadmill, you are running and that. Your body tells you, give up the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, so let it God do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, and which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. And said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there was by his hand, or his head, a cake baked on a coal and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel came back again, second time, and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Father, thank you very much for your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit, who is your own interpreter, interpret your word to our hearts. And let this become strength in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Elijah was one of the greatest men or prophet you can ever read about. All the miracles and signs and wonders that God did in his life. At this time, he challenged Ahab and told him that there would be no rain in the land. He took the risk, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. But when he came to give them rain, he did something more and gathered all the prophets of Baal and killed all of them. When their God could not answer by fire, but his God answered by fire. Having done that, just the next moment, Jezebel sent a message to Elijah and said, by tomorrow I'll take off your head. And Elijah ran. That was the man who just brought fire from heaven. That was the man who had opened Jordan. And now he's running for just a word, a threat, his life, because he ran out of steam. The interesting thing about what he prayed was, God, take my life, because I'm not better than my father's. We do not read anywhere in the Bible where his father brought fire from heaven, where his father did miracles, nothing like that. Because he lost strength in his journey. In our journey of life, every one of us, we have moments that it look like tomorrow will not come. We have moments that it look like everything we have been abandoned. I put it in this way. Two spheres of life that we run through every day. Number one is a mountain experience where everything works. In our journey, we meet mountains. We come there, we can see very far. We can see everything going on. We can see life, and we are happy about it. But then all of a sudden, we come into a valley. When you come into a valley, there's no phone service. Right? You see that when you get into a valley, there's no phone service. And then you find you can't call. When you call, nobody hears. And nobody seems to be around. And you are there alone. But let me say this to you. There is value in that trip. No matter how bad the valley is, there are things that you need to get out of it. In the valley is where you get character. In the valley is where you build faith. In the valley is where you build resilience. You don't get that on the mountain. So in our journey, we will meet the valley, we meet the mountain. But there are things that keep us strong, no matter the condition we see. And those are the four things I want to share with you. Number one is to know your destination. In a journey, you must know where you're going to. You can't see somebody take a car and drove out and say, why are you going? I don't know. You wouldn't like to be in such a car. But in a journey, you must have a place. You must make a decision. This is where I'm going to go. And when I get there, I have a purpose. I have something I'm going to do. The Bible says that as a Christian, we have a destination. The day we meet Jesus Christ. A destination when Jesus comes. A destination when he gives us our reward when we are in his presence of what we have done on earth. That's our destination. If you don't know that, anything can distract you. Anything can take you off the mark. Somebody once complained in the church to his pastor and said, you know, pastor, every time everybody is just looking at me, everybody is doing this, everybody is doing that. The pastor said, really? Well, let's do something. I want you to do something for me. Whenever the service starts, take a cup of water, you know, and hold it. And focus on that water. And make sure that nothing drops out of the water. So he was so faithful. He had it the first day. At the end of it, the pastor asked, "Did you see people looking at you?" He said, "No." Why? Because I'm focused on what I was holding in my hand. Many times in our life, because we lose focus on our destination, we lose strength. We lose strength when persecution comes. Because there must be persecution in the journey. When people don't understand you, when people don't take what you say, when it look like they look at you funny because you're a Christian, you give up because you lose your destination. If I know I'm going to heaven, nothing will stop me. No matter how much I stumble, I will get up and keep walking. Because that is the strength. If you see those athletes when they are running, they are straining themselves, looking intently. What are they looking at? They are looking at the reward ahead. They want to win the cup. They want to win the medal because they know. That's why Paul says, "I run with everything, not like someone beating the air. I have a target." As a Christian, how do you want to meet God? How do you want to meet Jesus? We ought to meet him complaining to him. "You know, Jesus, you know, that person offended me. That's why I left the church. Oh, Jesus, the pastor talks too long. That's why I left the church. Oh, you know, I don't like the people." Bad news, you still meet the same people in heaven. But if you know your destination, you'll be willing to sacrifice anything for that destination. You'll be willing to endure the pain for that destination. You'll be willing to say, "I know whom I believe, and I know that if I keep on moving, it's going to help me." Because you know where you are going. That is the strength. When Elijah was confronted by God, the first thing he told God is that, "I am alone. Nobody. They have killed everybody, and they are so jealous of me because I'm the only prophet left." God says, "Shut up. There are 7,000 of people like you who have not bowed down their knees to bow." That refocuses him. Oh, so I have people. It's important for us to understand that if you don't have an ambiguous understanding of where you are heading to, anything, you can fall for it. When this one come and tell you, you follow. Because if you don't have that, you don't have a roadmap. This evening, I'll be talking about three things that leads you to success as a Christian. Three. I'll invite you to come. Very, very simple things. But if you don't have them, you have a problem. It's important for us to understand that the journey, ultimate goal of every human being is eternity. Because we are born and we travel across this earth, we die. When we die, we don't die and die and die. No. We just sleep and wake up the other side. The question is, which side will you wake up? Because there's a side you wake up and God is there. There's another side you wake up and the devil is there. That's why I said to people, "I don't care how you treat God now. I don't care what you say to God. I don't care how you call him. I don't care how you treat the church. But one day you meet him as a judge." Think of you fighting a judge on the street because you have energy. And 2 weeks later, you appear before the judge to decide your case. You know the answer. It's important for us to understand that our journey is very valuable, that we must protect. We must get energy every day by keeping focus on where we are heading. No matter what people tell you, heaven is real. I met a professor who said there's no heaven and there's no hell. Well, he's a professor in the university. I am not. I'm a possessor. Did you see the difference? He's a professor. I'm a possessor. So we came out together, and he was asking, he thought he was going to disgrace me on this. People, about 20 people were around, and he said, there's no God, there's no heaven, there's no hell. If there is heaven, show me where heaven is, and if you show me, I'll become a Christian. Okay. I said, I don't know where heaven is. He said, I told you there's no heaven. I said, all right, professor, what's your plan tomorrow? What's your plan? Oh, he said, I have a class at this time. He gave me all the plan of what he has tomorrow. I said, show me where tomorrow is. He paused. He said, you make my argument look foolish. Did the Bible not say those who don't believe in God are fools? That's what the Bible says. But keep focus on your, no matter what philosophy people put in your head, keep focus on your destination. That will help you, because that's the ultimate goal of every human being. Second, the ultimate goal for every Christian must be to be impactful. That I must leave this earth leaving a mark on the sand of history. I don't know what your goal is in life, but I have this big ambition of winning people to Christ. And when I get to heaven, I have to wear cap and the crown and the star. And so that people can look at me and say, oh, look at that one. I don't want to be one of them that will be looking at somebody else. So if you want to do that, do what God has asked you to do. Because that's how the crown comes. That's the goal of every Christian, to be impactful. Now, wherever you are, light your candle around you. People will see the glory of God in you and glorify your Father. Second thing is, know that the journey involves certain things. Know what the journey involved. What is involved in that journey? There's an enemy there. There's an enemy there who is out to deceive, who is out to corrupt, who is out to defame, and everything you can think about to distract you from getting to your goal, there's an enemy there. And the Bible says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we wrestle against principalities and powers and all the work of darkness, but we have the armor, we have the power, we have the grace. If I know where I'm heading to, no matter what the devil says, I know my destination. Know that that is involved. The enemy is out there to deceive you. The enemy is out there to thwart your journey. The enemy is out there to make sure that you don't get to where you want to get to. In 1984, I had a very serious problem in ministry, and I decided, no, it's enough. One of them, I decided to say, well, God, 12 noon tomorrow, I want to be in heaven. Just take me home. Enough of this. I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I laid down 15 minutes to 12, and I covered myself with blanket, hid myself. I felt free for a while because I am going to heaven. I don't have to deal with these problems anymore. And I began to sing Amazing Grace and all that. 15 minutes get longer and longer and longer. By the time I look at the watch, it was 20 minutes after 12. It means God didn't take me to heaven. I have to face the problem. See, don't let anything give you a temporary relief, because those temporary relief cannot solve your problem. Sometimes you say, well, I have so much problem and I have to take alcohol and put it in, and until I come to a point where I lose consciousness, you add problem to your problem. You know why? I was like that. You were, well, I have to smoke, I have to go to drugs and all that. And then you pack all of them. You come to consciousness and you find yourself. Listen, I was one of them. I was smoking 4 wraps of marijuana in 1 wrap called family wrap. But when Jesus met me at the age of 20, he turned my life around. He can do the same thing to you. The devil can hand anything to you in, so that you can give him your destiny. He can offer you things so that you forget about your destiny. Take this for a while. Don't go there anymore. Take that for a while. Don't go there anymore. The Bible says, stand still in the liberty where Christ have made you free. And don't tie yourself with yokes of bondage, because your journey is real. See, in that journey, you need two people, God and people. You didn't hear what I said? You need God and people. When you see God, he gives you a roadmap. When you see people, he gives you support. You need God to give you a roadmap of where he wanted to go. And no matter what happened, you are strong in what you are doing. I remember somebody walked up to me and told me, don't go to where you're going to because I just dreamed that you died and they buried you. I told you the story yesterday. And I was going to preach somewhere and I thought, this is coming. And he went to, God have asked me to go and speak somewhere. And the devil see what is coming. And he went to God give me fear. So I said to him, what did you do when you saw it? I don't know the guy. I've never seen him. What did you do when you saw that? I said, I prayed. I said, thank you. I jumped into the car and drove away. And God moved amazingly. That's what the devil wanted to stop. Don't let him give you something different from what you know you want to have. You need God. And need God, the Bible, seek him with all your heart and you'll find him. You need God. And you need people. Because if you don't have people, there are times of loneliness. There are times that you don't know where to go and what to do. And you hear somebody speak something that picks you up and moves you ahead. You need people. You need God. Amen? You remember when David said, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Who can tell me why? Because thou art with me. He need God. He need God. You cannot succeed as a Christian in this journey if you do not have people around you. Because who speaks into your life matters a lot. Who can tell you the truth matters a lot. Because many of us want somebody to tell us things that we like to hear. That is not going to lead you in the journey. It's somebody who can tell you the critical truth that in Africa we have a proverb that says, it's only your friend that tell you that your teeth stinks. It's only your friend. Somebody who is not your friend will never tell you that. But their friend will say, hey, it looks like you have to brush because something is coming out of your mouth. Why? Because it's your friend. If it's not your friend, it can't tell you that. You need people like that in your life who can tell you some critical truth about your life, whether it will hurt, yes, but it will heal. Because that the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? Number three is to master the tools that is given to us for this journey. Elijah, rise up and eat. He was given food and water, two things. Why food and water? He went back to sleep. Why not sword? Food and water. He ate it and went back to sleep. The angel came back, brought the same thing, food and water. What is that? Food is the word of God. Feed yourself on the word of God, because that is the roadmap to heaven. That's the constitution. That's the power. That's what gives you information about God, his word. He told Joshua, this book of the law, the way I read it, it's like God was saying, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth day and night. You shall read it every day, meditate upon it. What will be the evidence? He said, you shall make your way successful. You shall have good progress. He didn't say, I will make you. No. You know, every year I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every year once. Since I became a Christian and God gave me ability to read from 1973, I do that every year. But this year I said, no. If I want to increase my capacity, I need to increase the word of God that comes into my life. Right? So I decided, all right, I'm going to do this in 6 months. To read the Genesis to Revelation in 6 months. Not the time I study, not the time I prepare sermons or messages, not the time I write, but to read. I just, today from Genesis, I am in Matthew chapter 22 from Genesis. This is only 3 months plus for 13 days or 14 days. So which means I may do it earlier than I propose so that it can be 2 times for a year. Do I know everything written? No. But I have to pack it in. Because a day will come that you'll be taken by surprise, and the Holy Spirit goes into the treasure and pulls something out of your life and give you a roadmap that will give you victory in your life. There are certain temptations that will come. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit goes into the treasure and pulls something out and show it to you. That gives you liberty. Why? The word of God is life. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Do you wonder why you watch movie 4 hours straight and you don't blink? It's not a sin. I'm not telling you a sin. I don't want to condemn you, but I want you to compare something. 4 hours stretch and you can tell the names of all the actors. All right? You can tell the good story about the movie. But when you pick the Bible to read in 30 minutes, right? Does it happen to anybody? In 30 minutes, you start dozing. And you just feel like, okay, this is enough for today. Why? Because that is what gives you life. The devil fights against it. What makes you divert your attention? He allows you to. He can't put pressure on you. But that will give you life. He will do the same thing. Prayers, the same thing. Second thing, second of that two is prayers. You pray and pray. You can't pray enough. There's nobody. You can pray hours, but it's not enough. You can pray days, it's not enough. Pray until something happens. We call it push. Pray until something happens. Keep pushing in prayers. Keep pushing in prayers. And as you keep pushing in prayers, heaven will be responding to you. And you'll find you are progressing in your journey. You'll find strength. The Bible told us Elijah approached the mount of God and God said, what are you doing here? I love that question. What are you doing here? You know, just kill me. Well, everybody's angry about me and I don't know what to do, so just kill me. And God said, listen, go back. Anoint Hazael as a king. Anoint Jehu as one of the captains. Anoint Elisha. All this will be around you. And your journey will complete. And that was what he did. He went back and anointed just 3 people. He never complained again. Because you need God's tools. He has provided it for us. If you don't pray, you complain. If you can complain, don't pray. But when you take your complaint to God, God turned that complaint to reality. He gives you the answer. There was a time I ran out of steam. I don't know what else to do. The journey was like stalled. I told my wife, listen, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to the church. As long as it takes for God to tell me what to do, I'm not coming back. So I packed my luggage and I went to church. I have an office. So in the evening, after I eat, I'll just come in front of the altar, sit down, and worship. Just keep worship. Do that till almost maybe midnight or after midnight. I go back into my office and sleep. In the day, I read. Just 1 week. Be careful when you tell God those things because he's going to test it out. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. It took. Not that God was dumb. No, he was watching. Are you serious? If you are serious, let's see how long you can endure. For 6 weeks, I was sleeping on the floor, waiting for him to tell me what next step to take. Because that's the only two I have. And then that morning, it's like someone sitting across my table. And I was writing. And he told me everything I needed to do. I received new strength. Whenever you hear God speaks, it gives you energy. It gives you life. It gives you roadmap. That's why you need to listen to God. You need to pray to God. You need to study his word. You can't study God's word and not pray. You can't pray without studying God's word. Two of them goes together. Because in the Holy of Holies, you see, the candlestick is there. The altar of incense is there. The table of shewbread is there. They walk together. The Holy Spirit will be there. The word of God is there. And the altar of prayer is there. If you don't do them, you don't have strength for the journey. When the enemy attack you, you are just like empty. Master the tools. Fourth, and I like this. I said, have a good company. What did I say? Everybody say that with me. Have a good what? A good company. If you have a good company in a very dark moment, you don't do this, but in my country, if they come, there will be armed guards that goes with us. Those armed guards are human beings. But in your mind, because they have guns, you are protected. Oh, no, you are not. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are human beings. They can run. But when you have the Holy Spirit with you, Jesus said, I am going to leave him to you. I'm going to send him to you as I go out. He will be in your company. He will be the one to guide you. He will be the one to prepare you. The Holy Spirit shows you what to do. He will be your comforter when things are tough. The Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in the journey, you have a problem. Because there is no way you can be able to meet the challenges that you face in the journey without the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will tell you, hey, stop, and you stop, and you find something happen. Or go, you go, and you find answer. Why? Because he knows everything. Make him your one companion. Now, wherever he goes, whenever he says to you, do it. You remember what Mary said to those servants? He said, whatever he says, do it. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, do it. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you have very tough journey. Elijah, when the angel came and gave him food to go, he moved. The food was to enable him to meet with God. It led him to where God was. And when he got there, he saw the fire, but God was not in the fire. He saw the wind. God was not in the wind. He saw all the phenomena. Rocks were shaking. God was not there. But he went and had the still small voice. And his problem was solved. When you have difficulties, go to the Holy Spirit. I don't know how much you are familiar with him, but let me tell you some of the things. Sometimes I'm looking for something and I can't find it. I just pause and say, Holy Spirit, please lead me to the place. I'll start looking. When I just say, Holy Spirit, please lead me to where this is, I'll stop looking. I'll go do something else. And all of a sudden, you just say, look at this place. And you look at it, it's there. Because it's so close, but we put them so far away. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with us. Angels are there. He asked angels to even put their arms around us. Some of us have never seen angels. Some of us have not been ministered to angels. I can tell you some experiences I've had about this. Because that is the only strength you have. Have a good companion. Whosoever hangs around you is what influences your life. Because we are all products of our environment. If you hang around with people who are not going to heaven, it's likely you won't get there. If everything you do is around those who have no value about life, value about future, you may not get there. But the most important thing is to know that you're on the track to heaven. And on the track to heaven, it's not dark, it's very plain and clear. I don't need to interpret the scripture upside down to support what I'm doing. No. There's no evil you do that you can't find a place in the Bible to hang on to. But the truth stems from Genesis to Revelation. It's plain. There is no big English about it. When God says yes, he means yes. If he says no, he means no. Find the Holy Spirit. Listen to him. Call upon him. When things become tough, he said, call upon me in the days of trouble. I will hear you and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Why? Because he knows everything. And that was why God gave us the Holy Spirit in our journey. Don't ever go without him. Don't take decisions without him. Don't try to argue with him, because he will not argue with you. When you are arguing, he will be silent. If you want him to talk, he will tell you the same thing he told you before. All he needs is your obedience. That's all. It might be tough, but if you obey, there's no other way to have energy to travel and to conquer the enemy than for you to obey the Holy Spirit. So today I just want to ask you, how close are you to the Holy Spirit? In your journey, what are the challenges you are facing? It might be challenges of obedience. It might be challenges that you are actually not making too much progress. It must be maybe distraction, that you are distracted into things that have no value, things that you don't like, things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you just do them and find yourself in trouble. Today is a day you can say, God, please take me. Do what you want with me. I know I will be saved. Every eyes closed, and I want to bow your heads. I'm going to call. I'm going to ask you. I don't know what burden you have in your journey. I don't know how tough your journey is. I don't know the challenges you are facing in your journey. But God can give you direction today. If you're asking for direction, ask God to give you. Just step out, kneel down there and tell God about yourself. No matter how tough that situation is, no matter how bad it looks, just give God a chance. Tell him to help you. And you will have help. We're going to pray this moment. I will open the altar for you. If there is anything that have bothered your mind, that have slowed down your journey, you find yourself fighting over certain things that you shouldn't fight over, and then arguing over what you shouldn't argue over, and you don't know what to do, God wants to give you direction. He said, come. Come unto me, all you that labored and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light, my burden is easy. Just come. I believe that God can do that today and give you a new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. If you want prayers about the challenges you are facing in your journey, step out and let's pray with you. And believe God for answers right now. Thank you, Father. Lord, I praise you. I worship you, Father. Don't hesitate if the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart. Do it. If it's touching your heart, then go to the front and just tell me exactly your heart. If God is prompting your heart, do it. There is no way you can run away from God. Just tell him, God, I'm tired about this. I don't want to continue with it anymore. I want to travel on this road well. Oh God, help me. If that is your thought, just come out here, kneel down. I'm not going to ask you what it is. Just talk to God about it. And I'm going to pray. Those tough decisions that you feel in your life that is becoming too hard for you to take. Oh, you don't know what to do. Ask him. Ask him, God, it's me. I don't want to continue like, Lord, help me out of this state. I don't want to continue like this. I don't want to continue like this. Maybe one or two sit there struggling to decide whether to do this or not. The grace of God is available. Thank you. The grace of God is available. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come down today, Father. that your spirit will breathe upon this, your children. Who is that person still holding back? You're holding back. And God is prompting you. You know what you are dealing with. You know the situation you are dealing with, but you're holding back. Let it go. Let today be a new day, a new beginning in your life. Just do it. Lord, I ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come down. I ask you, Father. Lord, you know this life. You know what it is. You know what they're dealing with, Father. I ask you that your Holy Spirit will come down. In your mercy, in your glory, come down, Father, as never before. Do what only you can do. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will breathe afresh. Let the hand of God be mighty. Lord, thank you. I pray that your Holy Spirit, O God, our Father, will overshadow all those darkness, our Father. Let it, Lord, go, Father, that your name will be honored. I pray for your grace. I pray for enlightenment. I pray for direction. Let your Holy Spirit pour upon his life, O God, our Father, that he will find freedom and liberty in you. Thank you, my Father. Oh Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus. You are the only one who can change. You are the only one who can transform. You are the only one who can deliver. Lord, I ask you. You know the purpose who are kneeling down here, Lord. Lord, I ask for your release and your power. Thank you, Lord, and my God. I praise you. And I worship you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You are our Father. You loved us, Father. You care about us. You know exactly our pains. Lord, take away these pains and take away these burdens. Lord, that Father, thank you, my Father. Lord, I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that your hand, oh God, will be mighty. You alone know what, oh God, our Father is kneeling down for. I'm asking you, Father, let there be a release. Let there be a release. Let there be a release right now, Father. Let there be a release. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Lord, I pray, Father, I ask you, every member of this church, please stretch your right hand. Stretch your right hand up. Father God, I pray for everyone here. I ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will brew upon every heart and every mind, every burden, every heartache, every disappointment, and everything, oh God, that have weighed us down. I pray you lift it up, Father, and take it away from us, Father, that, Lord, our journey will become straight. You say you turn the crooked place to be straight. I pray, Father, that every crooked way on our front, you turn it straight and let your Holy Spirit walk upon our lives. I bless everyone in this audience. I ask, oh God, you release your power and release your spirit upon their lives, Father, that, Lord, their life dream will come true. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing these prayers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
don't see it. Even when I don't see it, you're working.
God, he is working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
Right now.
Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, I'm in the darkness with my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, I'm in the darkness with my God. That is who you are. Who you are.
Oh, that is who he is. It's his nature. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the miracles that have been worked in the heavenlies and are being poured out into this world. Thank you, Lord God, for the good reports. Thank you for the testimonies of that breakthrough, miracle-working power in our lives. Thank you for this word. Lord, let it, Father, just go beyond our mind. Let it go to our heart. Let our spirit receive. And Father, let us be changed and transformed that we might leave this place different than we came in. We pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Listen, church is over, but church is about to begin. So I want you to go out there and go be the church. Amen. Don't forget tonight at 6:30. You know what? If God ministered in this word here, I promise you, God has a word. You will not be, honestly, you will not be sorry for coming out tonight. You will be sorry if you don't. I promise there's nothing more important on TV. Come out tonight and be blessed. God bless you. Go be the church. Amen.